floundering Pascal Frang doodle, you know, Abraham Lincoln ladder. You know, I mean, and for you, it makes sense. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 294, Tipitaka, part 192. And it's Mahavagga 9, part 5, where we'll pick up right where I left off last time in Tipitaka, part 191. So, for those who are new, just briefly, if you're the sort of person who ever thought, I want to dive deeper, I want to know about the origins, the roots, the earliest scriptures of Buddhism. And you asked a teacher, perhaps, and they said, oh, this is good. You can read the Tripitaka, or in the original Pali, Tipitaka is how that's pronounced. Three baskets of pre-sectarian early Buddhism. But don't worry so much about the first basket, the rules. That doesn't apply to you, really. That only really applies to monks, and maybe they would forget to mention the nuns. And it doesn't even really apply to all monks today, but mostly to the original monks. And it's just sort of a waste of your time to read. And if you, like me, are a little naughty, a little rebellious, and kind of thought to yourself, oh, what if I read it? What if I did a deep dive into the rules for the pre-sectarian early Buddhist monks and nuns? But then you didn't, because why would you waste your time, right? And you're not alone. Nobody alive. No, okay, there's probably some people living who've read it, but most people skip it. They get the cliff notes. They skim it. They go, yeah, okay. I get the general idea. How many people spend 4 years of their lives reading each line, each word translated into English, and either shrugging and going, okay, that happened, or analyzing, seeing if there's some wisdom, and maybe even being a little critical of certain aspects of these rules. I mean, from the vantage point of 2,600 years later. How many people do you know? One, it's me. All right, there. Now you know what's going on. So, pretty much without further ado, I don't know if you've noticed, I've made a few changes lately, and I have to admit, they weren't for you, they were for me. It's a lot easier to make a thumbnail that looks like this, and more fun for me. See, Baby Kermit here on Buddhist Books Podcast represents the Venerable Upali. Just to help remember the names, see, here's the Rogues Gallery. That's called the Tipitaka Rogues Gallery. You can watch the Tipitaka Rogues Gallery by clicking right there. That's a video from a couple years ago where I went over which cartoon character we've assigned to which monk. They're mostly naughty, most of them. Upali's okay. Sometimes a monk or a nun will come up in a story about a different monk or nun who is naughty, who's not, in this context, usually they're not breaking a rule, they're doing something that results in a rule. So something that has never been done before. In the very beginning of the first book, which, by the way, if you want to start with the first book of the rules, these six are the rules. There's the one that's missing. That's the one here. And we've been doing this for 3.5 years, and we're almost done with book four, so in a couple years, we'll get to the second basket, which is behind me, basically this many of the books, and those are the teachings, the original teachings of Lord Buddha. Looking forward to that. But we've got to eat our meat before we eat our pudding, or whatever the Scottish teacher said in that music video. You know the one I'm talking about. Never mind. So what happened was Ananda, the Venerable Ananda, came to Lord Buddha and asked him, What makes the difference between an order that lasts a long time and one that doesn't? And Lord Buddha said, an order that lasts a long time has many rules, and once a month or twice a month or however often, all the monks and presumably nuns. I think there was a point where nuns were introduced as an idea. I don't know if that happens in the original scriptures or if that was sort of a creative fiction thing added later on in Mahayana. We'll find out together over these next decades while I read the entire Tipitaka. I could ask somebody, but where's the fun in that? What are we talking about? Yeah, so Lord Buddha said there's a lot of rules. So Ananda says, well, quickly, give us the rules so that our order will last a long time, so that as many people as possible can follow this path toward enlightenment. And Lord Buddha said, we're a small order now. So occasionally issues will come up that are small order issues, and we will establish one rule at a time as we go. And people will learn how the rule came about, who it was, usually. Sometimes the monk isn't named. What happened, and when and how exactly the rule was established. And sometimes it gets amended. Sometimes a rule comes up, you know, he establishes a rule, and then there's an exception, or there's a situation where, oh, well, they were trying to follow this rule, and he's like, okay, let's change that rule slightly. And so you get to watch the evolution of the rules. It's very interesting. It actually ends up being a little less boring than it sounds. And then he says, you know, later will be a medium-sized order, and medium-sized order issues will come up, and then will be a large order, and large order issues will come up, and we'll establish the rules as we go. So that's what we're reading, is the rules being established as they go. Sometimes things are out of order. So we read all the rules for monks and the rules for nuns. They're in these three. And then now we're reading the rules of order for generally how the order is run. And rules get established in the rules of order that are already taken for granted in book one. So it's kind of one of those things where I think it's assumed that the time that you're reading it isn't the first time you're reading it, or when it's being recited isn't the first time it's being recited. Before it was written down, of course, it was recited. And so, anyway, that's about enough of an introduction. Mahavagga means great division number 9. Last time, Lord Buddha was talking about different scenarios where if they try to have a formal meeting to do a formal act for a monk, but they don't do it correctly, then it ends up not being done. It didn't happen. So then the monk wanders, you know, goes to another community of monks, and they try to do it and it doesn't get done. He goes over here, they try to do it, it doesn't get done. And he says, the cycle must be fixed. This cycle is a problem. But he hasn't gotten to like any kind of resolution yet, so we're in the middle of that. Last time we reached like a 45-minute mark in the episode and decided to just finish the thought next time, which is where we are now. So if you want to know the beginning of the thought, more or less, that we're continuing now, you can check out Tipitaka Part 191. And now, without further ado, let's get to the reading. I've also done away with showing the incense at the beginning, and it's just a lot of things just to make life easier for me. In other words, to make recording these a little bit easier so that I'll be more motivated, because I'm doing this just for fun, you know? So if I say one day I feel like doing it or I don't feel like doing it, then I do it or I don't do it. So if I make it a little more fun for myself and a little easier for myself, then I'm more likely to do it more often, and then that'll increase the chances that we'll actually finish the Tipitaka in my lifetime, which is the goal. Next time, we'll talk about next time after the reading. Quote, Lord Buddha's talking. This is a case, monks, where a monk is a maker of strife, a maker of disputes, a maker of contention, a maker of brawls, a maker of legal questions in the order. Then it occurs to monks, quote within quotes, this monk, your reverences, is a maker of .. Thank you, Polytext Society. ones who translated it, and there's the one, they're the ones who opt to put three dots in place of things that might get repetitive, to put it nicely. Sometimes that's a genuine gratitude I express toward them for doing that, and sometimes it's utter annoyance when they put three dots in place of something that was in a previous book. I have to go chasing after to find out what it says here. So I have mixed feelings about them. No, but overall, I like the Polytech Society. There's a link to them in the description if you want your own Tipitaka. So, there you go. Okay. Legal questions in the order. Come, let us carry out a formal act of censure against him, end quote within quotes. And they carry out a formal act of censure against him. Not by rule, in an incomplete assembly. In this case, the order disputes, saying, quote within quotes, a formal act not by rule in an incomplete assembly. A formal act not by rule in a complete assembly. A formal act by rule in an incomplete assembly. A formal act by what has the appearance of rule in an incomplete assembly. A formal act by what has the appearance of rule in a complete assembly. The formal act is not carried out. The formal act is badly carried out. The formal act should be carried out again, end quote within quotes. Herein, monks, those monks who speak thus, quote within quotes, a formal act not by rule in an incomplete assembly, end quote within quotes, and those monks who speak thus, quote within quotes, the formal act is not carried out, the formal act is badly carried out, the formal act should be carried out again, end quote within quotes. These monks are here speakers of what is right. This is a case, monks, where a monk is a maker of strife, three dots, and they carry out a formal act of censure against him, not by rule, in a complete assembly. In this case, the order disputes, saying, three dots. Herein, monks, those monks who speak thus, quote within quotes, a formal act not by rule in a complete assembly, end quote within quotes, and those monks who speak thus, quote within quotes, the formal act is not carried out, the formal act is badly carried out, the formal act should be carried out again, end quote within quotes. These monks are here speakers of what is right. This is a case, monks, where a monk is a maker of strife, three dots, and they carry out a formal act of censure against him by rule in an incomplete assembly, three dots, by what has the appearance of rule in an incomplete assembly, three dots, by what has the appearance of rule in a complete assembly, three dots. These monks are here speakers of what is right. This is a case, monks, where an ignorant, inexperienced monk, full of offenses, not rid of them, lives in company with householders, in unbecoming association with householders. It then occurs to monks, quote within quotes, this monk, your reverences, ignorant, inexperienced, lives, three dots, with householders. Come, let us carry out a formal act of guidance for him, end quote within quotes, and they carry out a formal act of guidance for him, not by rule, in an incomplete assembly, three dots, not by rule, in a complete assembly, three dots, by rule, in an incomplete assembly, three dots, by what has the appearance of rule, in an incomplete assembly, three dots, by what has the appearance of rule, in a complete assembly. In this case, the order disputes, three dots. These monks are here speakers of what is right. These five occasions in brief. So I think what the three dots actually are serving to do is to keep that entire paragraph from being repeated like six or seven times, because it's all the same except for it's not by rule in a complete assembly or by rule in an incomplete assembly is the only difference between the entire paragraph. But I think it's interesting to notice that the monks would repeat this. They would all, speak it aloud together. So the parts that are repeated eight times might not be repeated eight times just because people didn't know how to write well back then, but rather so that they would memorize it very thoroughly, so that the whole structure of the paragraph. And notice the difference So they would repeat the whole thing 20 times in a sitting, and then they would do that however many, you know, however often, once a month, or I don't know if they'd repeat all the rules once a month, because that's, this is a lot, these entire six books of rules once a month. But then they have the key at the end where they just sort of list it out very quickly. Maybe they did that once a month. I don't know. Or maybe they had sections they would do and they would do some of it every month. Don't know. It didn't say. At least not yet. This is a case, monks, where a monk brings families into disrepute and is of depraved conduct. It then occurs to monks, quote within quotes, three dots, let us carry out a formal act of banishment against him. Quote within quotes, four dots, these, oh, and end quote within quotes, four dots, these five occasions in brief. This is a case, monks, where a monk reviles, abuses householders. It then occurs to monks, quote within quotes, three dots, let us carry out a formal act of reconciliation for him, end quote within quotes, three dots. I think they're drawing to a close of something because of the how often the three dots are, that you start to notice patterns. Three dots, these five occasions in brief. This is a case, monks, where a monk having fallen into an offense does not want to see the offense. Three dots, having fallen into offense, an offense, does not want to make amends for the offense. Three dots, does not want to give up a wrong view. It then occurs to monks, quote within quotes, three dots, let us carry out a formal act of suspension against him for not giving up the wrong view, end quote within quotes, four dots, these five occasions in brief. This is a case, monks, where a monk against whom a formal act of censure has been carried out by an order conducts himself properly, is subdued, mends his ways, and asks for the revocation of the formal act of censure. It then occurs to monks, quote within quotes, this monk, your reverences, against whom a formal act of censure has been carried out by the order conducts himself properly, three dots, and asks for the revocation of the formal act of censure. Come, let us revoke the formal act of censure against him, end quote within quotes, and these revoke the formal act of censure against him not by rule in an incomplete assembly. In this case, the order disputes, three dots, these monks here are speakers of what is right. This is a case, monks, where a monk against whom a formal act of censure has been carried out by an order conducts himself properly, three dots. They revoke the formal act of censure against him not by rule in a complete assembly. Three dots, by rule in an incomplete assembly, three dots, by what has the appearance of rule in an incomplete assembly, four dots, by what has the appearance of rule in a complete assembly, three dots. These monks are here speakers of what is right. This is a case, monks, where a monk for whom a formal act of guidance has been carried out by an order, three dots, of banishment, three dots, of reconciliation, three dots, of suspension for not seeing an offense, three dots, of suspension for not making amends for an offense, three dots, of suspension for not giving up a wrong view, has been carried out by an order, conducts himself properly, three dots. These monks are here speakers of what is right. The ninth section, that on the monks at Campa. Again, they put the title at the end. So that was the title of what we just finished reading. So it seems like in answer to what are they, how are they going to resolve this? It's pretty simple and kind of dull, but obvious. I mean, you know, it should be said, it should be clarified, it should be written down and understood and memorized so that everybody's on the same page. That, break the cycle by having a group of monks say, you know what, we're going to do it properly. In a complete assembly, by rule. That's how you break the cycle of, oh, well, they tried to revoke the suspension, but they failed. They tried again and failed. They tried again and failed. Do it right and succeed. Might seem obvious, but, you know, again. All right. So, this is an interesting turn of events because, as you may know, I generally don't peek ahead, so I don't know what's coming next. I don't know if, you know, but it turns out we're getting to the end of Mahavagga 9 now, and this is the fun part. This is, you remember I mentioned the key? So the key is where they run through everything in the section, but just with a phrase. So like if you're memorizing, you know, if you're sometimes, I don't know, I always give this example. If there's, you know that there's going to be an essay question on your test, you know, in high school or whatever, college, and you know it might be one of three essay questions. So maybe you write the three essays that, you know, one of which is going to be the essay question, and then you try to memorize it. But you don't want to memorize every word of it, so you say, okay, floundering Pascal Frangoodle, you know, Abraham Lincoln ladder, you know, I mean, and for you it makes sense. You know, oh, okay, that's the part right, you know what to fill in, these three sentences about Abraham Lincoln, three sentences that have to do with a ladder, these, you know what I mean? And otherwise it sounds like gibberish. And so that's what we're about to read, is something that sounds like gibberish. But if you've heard the last few episodes of Tipi Taka, you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember that. So this is an aid for the monks to help them memorize the rules. Here we go. In this section, there are 36 items. This is its key. The Lord was at Kampa, case at Vasabha village. He made an effort for incoming monks in regard to what they wanted. Having known they are appointed, henceforth he made no effort. Thinking suspended one does not carry out, he went to the victor. A formal act not by rule in an incomplete assembly, by rule in a complete assembly. And a formal act by rule in an incomplete assembly, by what has the appearance of rule in an incomplete assembly, by what has the appearance of rule in a complete assembly, one suspends one, and one two, several, one suspends an order, then two, then several, and an order suspends an order. The distinguished, omniscient one, having heard, objects, saying it is not the rule. Whatever formal act for which the motion is not furnished, although a proclamation is furnished, and that for which the proclamation is not furnished, although it is furnished with a motion, not emotion. If neither is furnished, and it is also not by rule, against the teacher's instruction, protested against, reversible, and not fit to stand. Not by rule in an incomplete assembly, these two. But just this, by rule in a complete assembly, is allowed by the truth finder. Fourfold, fivefold, tenfold, and 20, and more than 20-fold, an order is thus of five kinds. Having excluded ordination and whatever formal act for invitation there is, together with the formal act of rehabilitation, the carrying out is by means of a fourfold order, excluding two formal acts, ordination in the middle districts and rehabilitation. The carrying out is by means of a fivefold order, fivefold. Excluding rehabilitation alone, these monks are tenfold. An order of 20 carries out all formal acts. It is the carrier out of everything. None, N-U-N. Probationer and novice. Woman novice. No ladies at your formal meeting. We went over this. Disavower, we didn't approve, if you don't remember. One who has committed an extreme offense, one suspended for not seeing an offense, for not making amends for not giving up a wrong view. Eunuch, they don't like eunuchs either. One living in communion, as it were, by theft. That's a person who wears a monk robe but has not been ordained. One gone over to a sect like Jainism or one of the other 60 Shramana sects that were wandering around Bihar at the time. An animal, no animals at your formal meeting, Nero, looking at you. Slayer of mother, don't do that. A father, Oedipus, out. One of one perfected, seducer of a nun, Udayin, get out of here. I was hoping he'd appear. Now he's going to be in the thumbnail. That'll be amusing. Schismatic, looking at you, Devadatta. Shedder of a truth finder's blood, hermaphrodite. They don't like anybody who isn't a normal human male because they're enlightened, don't you know? Anyway, one belonging to a different communion, staying within a different boundary, standing above the ground, levitating monks, get out of the meeting. This isn't for you. Levitate somewhere else. By psychic power. But if it's a, never mind, I'll just keep reading. One against whom an order is carrying out a formal act. These come to be 24, and they are objected to by the awakened one, for they are not completers of a group. If one undergoing probation should, as the fourth member, grant probation or should rehabilitate one sent back to the beginning or undergoing menata, it is not a formal act and should not be carried out. So too, if one deserving the beginning or menata should rehabilitate one deserving rehabilitation, this is not in accordance with a formal act. The five are explained by the all-awakened one. Nun, probationer, novice, woman novice, disavower, one who has committed an extreme offense, who is mad, unhinged, in pain, suspended for not seeing, for not making amends for not giving up a wrong view, and a eunuch and a hermaphrodite. One belonging to a different communion, or boundary, or standing above the ground, by psychic power, and one against whom a formal act is being carried out. Of these 18, the protest is not valid. The protest is valid of a regular monk. Yeah. Normal. Sorry. A pure one... People who know me know I'm being facetious, right? A pure one may be wrongly sent away, and an ignorant one rightly sent away. Eunuch, again, they're obsessed. One living in communion, as it were, by theft, going over to a sect, an animal. Slayer of mother, of father, of one perfected, seducer of a nun. Can we tell that story again? That was a fun one. Schismatic of the order. Here's the, if you want that story. She plays the role of that nun. What was her name? Sundarananda, I think. The nun Sundarananda. Anyway, schismatic of the order, although that wasn't a monk seducing a nun, that was a lay person seducing a nun. So it was the nun's fault. I mean, never mind. We'll just keep reading. Shedder of a truth finder's blood, and also a hermaphrodite, and whichever. Of these 11 is not meant for restoration. Hands, feet, both of these. Ears, nose, both of these. Fingers, nails, tendons. One who has webbed hands, not allowed at the formal meeting. Get out of here. Hunchback, get out of here. And dwarf, his words, not mine. and one who has goiter, who has been branded, scourged, and who has been written about, and who has elephantiasis. All these people and nuns and hermaphrodites and eunuchs aren't allowed at formal meetings. That means it's not a valid formal meeting. It's a different time. One who is badly ill, one who has disgraced an assembly, one who is blind, and one with a crooked limb, lame, and also one who is paralyzed. A cripple, his words. 1930, this was translated, so her words, I should say. One weak through age, blind from birth, dumb and deaf. Blind and deaf, blind and deaf. Miss Horner, Never mind. It said blind and deaf twice, but at the second time, the blind and is in parentheses, which makes me think someone was being a little lazy. Anyway. And dumb and deaf likewise, and blind, deaf, and dumb, all these 32, not allowed at the formal meeting. It's not a formal, it's not, doesn't count. If they all get together and say, yeah, that monk's no longer on probation, but one of them is a hunchback, one of them has a brand, or tattoo, or whatever, then that monk's still on probation. Doesn't count. These rules are very strict. But, I mean, that was the thing. I mean, that's one way of thinking about all this, is the answer to Ananda's question is the next six books. How do you make an order that lasts a long time? You make a whole bunch of rules and make everybody recite them. So, and make it very strict. As if it's just loosey-goosey. He gives an example of there was a leader of a sect, you know, a cult, wandering around in Bihar, one of the other ascetics. And he, instead of having rules, he would work with each monk individually. And he was psychic, so he was, you know, he was able to see, oh, okay, here's how you, yeah, do this. Now you're enlightened. Yay, good work. And then when that leader died, the order just evaporated because there was nothing holding it together. So Ananda wanted Lord Buddha to establish the order in a way that would continue after Lord Buddha passed away. Hence, Buddhism exists because of these rules. See, it's important, maybe not interesting. It's important in its own specific way, so why not give it the honor of reading it aloud and making rude comments about it? It's an honor to have me give rude comments. Never mind. Just kidding. Where are we? What are we doing here? Yes, their restoration was explained by the All-Enlightened One. An offense that should be seen, for which amends should be made. A wrong view to be given up does not exist. What? Oh, right, it's the key. So it's not meant to make sense. Unless you remember what they're talking about, which I don't in that case. There are seven formal acts suspending him which are not legally valid. And these seven which are not legally valid for one complying with his falling. Among formal acts, there are seven that are legally valid for one not complying with his falling, in the presence of, interrogation, and according as it is, and the acknowledgement, innocence, past insanity, depravity, and on account of censure, banishment, reconciliation, and suspension, probation, the beginning, manatta, rehabilitation, and thus ordination. These 16 are not legally valid if one should carry out one for another. All right, if you do the wrong thing. So, can you imagine? Oh. I mean, I suppose that kind of thing happens, right? Like someone gets mixed up at the hospital and you're supposed to, you know, take out someone's appendix and instead you take out his eye because you're, oh, I thought this was John. This is Larry. Oh, sorry, Larry. You know, never mind. These 16 are quite legally valid if it should carry out the appropriate one for that one. Reciprocally, they should explain how these 16 are not legally valid. When conditioned for it, paired, these 16 are also legally valid. When conditioned for it singly, the conqueror said the cycle is not legal. One who makes strife. The order carries out a formal act of banishment.
Banish!
Banishment.
Thank you. What's his name? I don't know if that character has a name. Never mind. It's from the Romeo and Juliet with Leo DiCaprio and good old what's her name? Sorry, I should know this. Claire Danes? Not by rule, in an incomplete assembly. He goes to another residence. There they carried out a formal act of censure against him, not by rule, in a complete assembly. Elsewhere, they carried out a formal act of banishment against him by rule, in an incomplete assembly, and they likewise carried out one which in both cases had the appearance of rule, in an incomplete assembly, in a complete assembly, and not by rule in a complete assembly, also by rule in an incomplete assembly, and by what had the appearance of rule in an incomplete assembly and in a complete assembly. These cases, having done what is conditioned singly, put the cycle together. Guidance for one who is ignorant, inexperienced, banishment for one who brings a family into disrepute, and they carried out a formal act of reconciliation for a reviler. And for whoever does not see, does not make amends for an offense, does not give up a wrong view, for these a formal act of suspension was decreed by the leader of the caravan. The wisdom of these formal acts of suspension should be applied to censure, and if, being subdued, conducting himself properly, he has asked, the revocation of these or those formal acts is according to the formal acts below. And if in this case or that case he disputes some formal act and says, quote, it was not carried out, it was badly carried out, it should be carried out again, and quote, further, concerning the revocation of the formal act, these monks are speakers of what is right. The great sage, having seen falling away from shakiness in one entitled to take part in a formal act, prescribed revocation as a surgeon medicine. I thought I was the only one making the analogy about surgeons. All right. So I didn't mean to peek ahead, but I couldn't help noticing that on the next page is the Great Division, Mahavagga 10. So there are more than 9 Mahavagga sections. So we have finished Mahavagga 9 today, and next time on Tipitaka Part 193, right? Yes, we will begin Mahavagga 10. Isn't that exciting? I think so. But next time on Buddhist Books Podcast will be an episode that ends with 5. It'll be 295, which means we will see that red four-sided Kongoko. You might be thinking, isn't that a Dorje? Yeah, or a Vajra. It's known as all 3 in Sanskrit and Tibetan and Japanese, not respectively, in a different order. Kongo or Kongoko is Japanese, something close to that. Anyway, so that's when we read about Shingon. And that's the one and only book on Buddhist Books Podcast that is not technically an English translation of ancient scriptures, but rather it is this book here by Adrian Snodgrass that is a very thorough, deep dive into Shingon Buddhism, or Buddhism, if you're into that. And so, we'll be reading that next time. So if you would like to get caught up, if you would like to, if you haven't checked out the Shingon series yet, that seems to be the only one most people are interested in, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you wandered in. And if that sounds interesting to you, you can check out the Shingon playlist here and watch all however many there are on the playlist, and then you'll be ready for the next one. Or you can watch the newest thing without being caught up. It's okay. I think so. Right. I mean, that's kind of what life is. When we're born, we're not all caught up at all. We're kind of like, okay, so this is what 1982 is like. And this is what 1983 is like. And if you're lucky, you have an older sibling or a parent or a grandparent and be like, yeah, let me tell you what 1977 was like. And 1965 and 1954 and then you read books and watch movies and whatever to get an idea what 18. You get the idea. So you can jump in at Buddhist Books Part 294, and it's okay. You don't need to go back to Part 1. You can if you want to. It's up to you. It's all up to you. Or you can turn off your device and maybe go outside, touch grass, drink some water. Do some deep pranayamic breathing. That'd probably be better for you then, wouldn't it? Thank you, though, for spending some time here on Buddhist Books podcast channel, and I will go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.